Good morning. Okay, a little public opinion poll here. As you know, I normally like to have the little stage down there, and the whole reason I like that is because I feel closer to you. And yet I have been told that, at least last week, that when people were looking at me, what they saw was this like black profile. And I thought, well, that's not good, even though I was talking about how I'm not vain. But tell me the truth. I mean, do you have an opinion? Is this good? Yes, sure. And who prefers down there? See? Oh, well. I do have a couple of things that I want to announce. And that is, first of all, there's not a class next week. Because I know, that's kind of the way I felt. I thought, we're barely into this and we are not meeting. But the whole thing is that, as you know, we have Halloween coming up. And so, for us at Athey, we love to offer the kids our fun harvest festival. And truly, I say for the kids, but any of you who want to come, you will see why it is such a big deal. The church goes all out to bless our kids. And I've come, the first time I came, it was just kind of, well, what do they do? And I was so amazed by the lengths that our staff goes to and volunteers go to make something that's really fun for the kids, that makes them not feel like, oh, I'm missing out by not going out to trick or treat. They miss out, not at all. You know, I mean, they go home with an abundance of candy and happy times that they've had while they were here. And so, because it's such a big event, and the whole church is decorated, we have to let them have all day Tuesday to work on it. And I think they even probably will start on Monday. So that said, we happily yield our meeting next week to them because it's going to be for such a good purpose. Then the other thing I wanted to say is I forgot last week to say that there is a special group for nursing moms. And not everybody knows that, so I want to make it known. So when we break into groups, you're welcome to go to the nursing mom's room and be with your group there. The other thing that I didn't announce last week that I wanted to say, and I just saw a mom walking in with a little one, is if you have an infant, you know, in the first few months of life, I am happy to have you in here for the teaching time. The one thing I'd ask is you don't sit in the front row, because then if your little one starts to cry, it's going to be a big deal for you to get up and walk out. But if your little one does, you know, start fussing or whatever, and you're afraid it's going to be a distraction, you just get up. You can. Last year, I had a couple of gals who would be walking back and forth with their baby, you know, and saying, I'm sorry if it's a distraction. It wasn't at all, because I was so glad that they were here. So if you know other young moms who would like to come but, you know, want the little ones with them because they are so little, please let them know. That's A-okay with me. I'm totally happy for that. Well, let's pray. Father, we do come to you this morning, and we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you because you provide the opportunity for us to get to know each other by coming together and being in smaller groups, praying for one another. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to do that. Lord, we come together to worship you, to learn of you. And so we're asking that you would teach us, that you would enlarge our understanding of who you are, that we would know you better and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, the one thing that I so wanted you to take hold of was the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. And I got just the reassurance I needed this morning, because during the week, as I was praying and had my thought of what I was going to do next, I just felt this constant nudge toward making sure that that point was clear to all of us. And the reason I'm so blessed is that this morning a gal said to me, "I am so glad you pointed that out, because I truly didn't fully grasp that the Holy Spirit is a person." You know, it's interesting how we can think of him, isn't it? You know, we can think of him as an influence. We can think of him, and I realize that in many ways that's where mine goes, as something emanating from God. One person described it as, you know, kind of like the fog you look out and see. You know, it's all there, but that's not a person. And so because of that, we're going to take another week to just kind of drive home this. I'm going to give you some more scriptures, repeat some from last week, but hopefully you will take hold of this, because, as I say, it's foundational. It's important that you see it. The Holy Spirit, a divine person. The Holy Spirit is as much an actual person as God the Father and God the Son. They each possess their own characteristics. Each is clearly distinguished from the other, and yet they are equal in being, in power, and in glory. And what we call the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Note that Jesus said name, not names, because the three divine persons are one God. Have you personally been thinking about your understanding of the Holy Spirit this week? I hope you have. And again, I think many of us might just have this assumption, I really believe I felt that way myself, of, yes, I understand who the Holy Spirit is, but this week, and actually all summer as I was praying and reading about him, it was hitting me that, no, it's kind of nebulous. I even though I could talk to a person about the Holy Spirit, I absolutely believe in the Holy Spirit, I realize I need to learn far more about the Holy Spirit. I need there to be clarity in my thinking. And so what I love, it's the Holy Spirit who will teach us. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to give us that clarity and I'm so grateful for it. I think one reason we can think of him in terms of an influence or an emanation is because the Holy Spirit moves in such mysterious ways, unseen ways. In fact, it's because we don't see him that unbelievers say he doesn't exist. But we feel him, don't we? We said last week that it's his spirit in us that bears witness with us, with our spirit, that we are children of God. So we feel him, but that is not to say we necessarily see him. Although I bet many of you have felt a taste of that as I have. One of his names is that he's like the wind. And I bet many of you have had times where the wind around you made you keenly aware of his presence. But again, a feeling. God, the Holy Spirit is a person. And again, he's as much a person as God the Father or God the Son. Well, since he's a person, it follows that he has a personality. So what are the characteristics of being a person? A person thinks and feels and has a will. Scripture supports that the Holy Spirit does indeed have these characteristics. In 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11, it says, "But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." And I like thinking about that. All of us are aware. And in fact, I think, you know, as little kids, we're even more mindful of it, that we can be looking at someone and thinking, you know, I'm saying yes with you, or I'm smiling, but you don't know what I'm thinking. And we can't know what each other is thinking. Although I will say that sometimes really close friends would challenge that a bit. We can almost hear the sentence that's going through our friend's mind. But we don't know what others are thinking. They don't know what we're thinking. Who knows what we're thinking? Just the Spirit that's in us knows. And so it's saying, in the same way, the Holy Spirit knows the Father, knows his thoughts, because he and the Father are one. And so he knows the thoughts of God because he is the Spirit of God. So here, knowledge is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 reveals that he has emotions. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." And that might confuse us sometimes to think, well, you know, how does what I do affect him? How does what I say influence him one way or the other? How does what I think matter to him? And again, I would hope that we know the answer to that. Paul addressed that, didn't he, when he was trying to help the Corinthians to think about their behavior, to think about their actions, because they were living immoral lives, doing as they pleased. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:15, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" This passage reveals to us that because the Holy Spirit indwells us, we can actually grieve him by our sin, whether it's in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me this week about that. That again, there are so many verses that are familiar to us. We go to a church where we have incredible Bible teaching. Pastor Brett consistently takes us through the Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. He's true to the Word. He doesn't skip over the Word. He even jokes with us saying, you know, that there are passages he'd rather skip over. But he goes right through them. And actually, that is happening less and less in many churches. And yet, even though every week we're having such incredible Bible teaching, I still think, and this is why we need our own relationship with the Lord, our own time with him, that we need to let these truths sink in. We know that passage that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We know that he indwells us, that we're not our own. We would say we know it. Do we live it? Yeah. Do you find yourself saying things that you later wished you hadn't? Doing things that maybe even right before you did it, you had this little check in your spirit, but then went ahead and did it anyway. You know, what about your thought life? Are your thoughts always pleasing to the Lord? And yet I do want to remind you on that. Remember that those initial thoughts that come in may well be from the enemy. And so it's what you do with those thoughts. In other words, sometimes you might have a thought and you know it's not pleasing to God. And you might say, "Oh God, please forgive me." And you own it because perhaps you know, no, it came right from your flesh, came right from your evil heart. That's one thing. It's another thing, and I think I'm confident all of us have experienced this, where thoughts you do not want to have come into your mind. And I know I've said to the Lord, "Oh God, please forgive me. I hate that." And you know what? What I need to do at that moment is just say, "Lord, correct my thinking right now. I'm going to start singing a praise song, or I'm going to read the Word, but I'm not going there with that thought. Whatever the thought is, are you successful in that?" So that's why I'm saying we can know these things, but if they're not impacting our lives every day, then we need to hear it more. We need to think it through. We need to meditate on it. We need to pray it in, so to speak, just saying, "Lord, I know that what is seen in my life does not match up with this. Please, Lord, help me. And know that He wants to. So the Holy Spirit has knowledge. He has emotions. What about a will? 1 Corinthians 12:11 reads, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." So here we see that the Holy Spirit has a will, and how key to understand that it's His will, not ours. If the Holy Spirit were a power that we could somehow get a hold of and use according to our own will, it'd be a very different picture. I think of the story found in Acts 8. Maybe you'd like to turn there, or I'm just going to read it to you. You know, it's the story of Simon the sorcerer. It's kind of a good illustration of this wanting to use God's power for your own purposes. I'll start reading, so it's Acts 8, verse 9. "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic." Verse 12, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, 'Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' Peter answered," verse 20, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Simon thought he could purchase the Holy Spirit and use that power for his own purposes. We have to be careful that that is not our motive in wanting the Holy Spirit. We can see the Holy Spirit is a means for personal power, personal influence, personal gain. How important it is when we are pursuing the Holy Spirit that we know we're pursuing a person who wants us as His own for His use according to His will. So we're not chasing after the Holy Spirit, hoping to catch up, hoping to get hold of Him for ourselves. We're pursuing the Holy Spirit, a person who wants us, who wants to take hold of you and me and use us according to his will, according to his purpose for our lives. How crucial to understand this point, that the Holy Spirit is not some mysterious, wonderful power that we somehow get a hold of, but rather that he, by his wonderful power, gets hold of us and uses us. Isn't it humbling when you discover you've been used by the Lord? Or isn't it humbling when you might be aware of it right in the very process? Maybe you're coming alongside someone who really needs that encouraging word, that word from the Word. And I know you've experienced this. Maybe like me, you're not into memorization. That has never been a strength for me. And I wish that I had more scripture committed to memory. I mean, I know the word. I usually know right about where it is, sometimes even on the page if it's one of my favorites. But to be able to say it verbatim, to be able to point exactly to where that is, or to tell them, that's not always there. But I've had those times, and I feel confident to say you have too. When you're talking to someone, scripture comes to mind, and you're saying the scripture. And you may even remember where it is. That is the Holy Spirit. Or he gives you the ability to discern that person's greatest need, which is what? To know him better and to love him more. And yes, there may be all sorts of other things going on in that person's life, but he gives you that ability. Bring them back to me. Pray with them. Point them to me. Share my word. But that's their greatest need. We can get caught up in all of these other issues. Not that they're not important in our lives, they can really be consuming to us. But the truth is, our greatest need is linked with our relationship with the Lord, knowing him, loving him, knowing he loves us, and that we're forgiven before him. I just love that is how he works. You know, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit got a hold of Brenda Metter when she was a young mom of littles. And if you've heard her testimony, or maybe you've heard Pastor Brett share, she went into a deep depression. She did not know the Lord then. She went into such a depression that even though she had these little children, a year apart, that she considered suicide. Someone placed a Bible in her hands, and she started reading. And she read for days, she read for weeks, and she came to a saving knowledge of the Lord. He became life to her. I am so grateful that she opened her heart to Jesus, and she has walked with him every day in her life since. I'm pretty sure in those busy days of raising those kids, she had no concept of the fruit that would come from those days. You know, there's a saying, one thing about life is that it's so daily. And it's true, you know, it's so daily. And young moms know that very, very well. You know, no sooner are the dishes put away, the baby fed, the laundry in the washing machine, the kitchen cleaned up, then you're going through all of those things all over again, daily. And I'm so glad that she was faithful to the Lord during that time in her life. We know the fruit it produced, don't we? And so together we say, thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Brenda, for following the Lord, for teaching your kids, for being the example to them that would impact them all of their days. Don't you love when Pastor Brett shares stories from his childhood, including that fourth grade, he got more spankings than, you know, I was talking to a mother of a fourth grader who was very discouraged. And I said, now, remember Pastor Brett? He has said he got more spankings in fourth grade than any other time in his life. And you heard the rest of that story probably. He shared that recently, that he was with his mom and dad, and his mom said, because she listens, as he has said, she listens to every podcast, every single teaching he ever does. And she goes, she's so sweet, you know, honey, you didn't have all those spankings every day. You know what you say about fourth grade? Brett said, he looks at his dad, and his dad goes. But how I thank the Lord for using Brenda. And whether you're a young mom here, or maybe you're a person who is older, maybe even almost like me and old, you know. We have to believe that if we're here, the Lord wants to use us and will use us as we yield ourselves to Him. Believe that He's using you. If you're a believer, He indwells you. And if you're yielded to His will, then trust that He's going to use you. But do remember, He doesn't follow our bidding, but His. And we've got to see the Holy Spirit through that lens. Knowing the Holy Spirit as a person is crucial. He's as real as Jesus Christ Himself, and He's an ever-present, loving friend who's always by our side. And He dwells in our hearts every hour of every day. Can you say that you have that conscious relationship with Him? You know, we have to ask ourselves, are we aware of His constant presence in our lives? You know, not just believing it theologically, but knowing it experientially. Every week, I rely on the Holy Spirit to take the things that I say to you, which could be nothing more than just a bunch of words to fill your head. I count on him by his Spirit to take the truths and drop them down into your heart where they will yield good fruit in your life. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. Or, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's the difference. That's the difference between just perhaps agreeing theologically or knowing and believing in your heart in a way that's going to impact your life. I think of the first night after my mother died. My divorce had been about 3 months prior to that, and I was in a hard, hard place. That night as I walked into my bedroom, I remember shutting off the light and standing, looking at the bed, feeling overwhelmed by my grief. And saying into the darkness to the Lord, now, this is where if I had a husband, I'd climb into bed, he'd wrap his arms around me, he'd comfort me, and I'd cry like a baby. Immediately, a verse came to mind that I'd only discovered just in the past couple of months prior to that. The verse is, your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. And it came to me. He is my husband. And I climbed into that bed, and he wrapped his arms around me and comforted me while I cried like a baby. Now, was that a human form beside me? No. But I can tell you it also wasn't something emanating from God. It was the person of the Holy Spirit. That was one of those times. Head to heart. He planted that scripture from Isaiah 54 into my heart, and it has brought about much good fruit in my own personal life, my own personal walk. And how I thank him for that. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit and his living presence in our lives that we can have that relationship with God, that we can talk with him, walk with him, and receive from him. During the last 2 years, our studies have constantly acknowledged that God wants to be known by us. He's the self-revealing God. It's through his Holy Spirit that he reveals himself. Last week I shared from John 14, and all this week I just kept going back to it again and again, and that was partly how I knew that we were going to stay there for this week. I love that chapter because it's where Jesus is telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit. Only, of course, they're not able to grasp it. But he's telling them he's going away, and he so wants to bring them comfort, assurance. He even says in John 16, you know, that his going away is going to be a good thing. They could not take hold of that. John 14:16 says, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. That's how I was feeling that night my mother died. Feeling so alone. And I remember actually thinking that I felt like an orphan. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The word counselor here from the Greek is from the Greek word parakletos. Your translation may say helper or advocate or comforter. I love all of those translations. In John 16:7, he said, I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, again, helper, advocate, comforter. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Perhaps you're here today feeling overwhelmed. That's surely how the disciples felt. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by the things that are going on in your life. I know some of you have issues that are literally life and death. You may be feeling like the disciples, vulnerable, overwhelmed. John 16:7, it says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I'm repeating that passage because we need to hear it, but more importantly, we need to hear it. We need to allow him to take that word and plant it in our hearts. In that same chapter, in the 12th to 15th verses, it says, Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In these three verses, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he 8 times. He, not it, because the Holy Spirit is a person. The Spirit of the living God is with us. As believers, he indwells us and wants intimate relationship with us. He hears our prayers. He speaks to us. He'll fight for us. He'll provide for us. He'll take up our cause because he cares. And he wants us to know him. My prayer for you is from Ephesians 3, the 16th verse. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit, through his Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It is by His Holy Spirit that He dwells in our hearts through faith. May the Holy Spirit give us understanding and an increased awareness of His presence in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank You because I know, Lord, that You want us to take hold of these truths. Jesus, thank You for not leaving us as orphans. Holy Spirit, thank You that You are with us. Again, Lord, I'm so aware we can know these things, even agree with these things theologically in our head, in our intellect. Lord, I'm asking that by Your Holy Spirit, You will take these truths and plant them in our hearts. That if there is one here today that hasn't fully grasped that, that You will make it real to her, that she will know You are with her, that You're for her, that You love her. I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your kindness, Your faithfulness. Lord, what a privilege it is that we get to study about You and learn more of You. So help us, Lord, that we would love You more. In Jesus' name, amen.